I'm not a terribly techie person. Even though I'm in public health, I probably should spend some time in computer engineering. So that's it. Okay, yeah, great. I'm representing this morning the Association of Schools of Public Health, and this is an organization in which all of the accredited schools are members. And we just wanted to share with you this little map so you know where all your schools of public health are. We want to make one change in Nebraska there, right in the middle of the country. We have a little red star, but I believe that one is now blue. There are now full membership in our organization. So, and we were growing. You can see that we have a new one in France as well that's coming online. We have them in Canada and Mexico. So as time goes on, we hope to have a broader impact on the world. In fact, yesterday we had representatives from, I think, Taiwan and Mexico and France and several other countries that actually signed a memorandum of understanding with us as they're going forward with their schools and their accreditation. So we're on the move. Just briefly, these are the individuals that were involved in our agencies involved in our competency development projects. We have a number of them. The Doctor of Public Health is coming, is up and online. We have core competencies for that. We have them for the Masters of Public Health for the core disciplines. We're working, of course, on the undergraduate learning outcomes model we're going to talk about today. But we also have established them for global health, preparedness and response, and the master's level public health competency model. We have two different levels for preparedness and response. So these projects are ongoing. So when we came together and I met Susan for the first time, and I was sitting there going, English, So she has made me a believer. It took a little while. And I was sitting there, as she was telling me about these whole things, the first time I was going, now, who do I know in the English department at San Diego State that wouldn't throw me out of their office when I came in and said, we need to integrate public health into your curriculum? So it turns out there are people around who will not throw me out of their office. And I even found that the undergraduate dean is into sustainability, and he's an English professor. And we have used him in our public health school in our undergraduate program to talk about sustainability in the county of San Diego and the projects he's working on. So we do have believers amongst us. And anyway, let me get going a little bit here on our presentation. The Institute of Medicine came out in 2003. They had the publication, Who Will Keep the Public Healthy? And they said that all undergraduates should have access to education in public health. So we considered that our charge, our responsibility to go forth and make that happen. And we have a number of models that exist out there. I think it was, I was in some of the early education committee meetings at the Association of Schools of Public Health when one of our leaders said, well, you do know that there are a lot of programs out there that do not have schools of public health but have undergraduate majors or doing things. And of course, we're all sitting around the table going, what? Is that possible that you could have public health and not have an accredited school of public health? Well, it turns out the majority of programs in undergraduate education and public health are in universities and colleges that do not have accredited schools of public health. So what we wanted to do, I think, initially before this whole big project of competencies came on was to say, who's going to define what that education should be? And there were a couple of people sitting at the table and said, well, we should define that. And then I think it was kind of decided that it's maybe our responsibility to put out guidance for what other people would like to do. Obviously, the programs out in all these areas don't belong to the association, may never belong to the association, but in fact, it was probably our responsibility in roles of leadership to put out some models and competencies that we think are the best practices and the knowledge sets, skill sets that students who study public health should have when they finish. So we move forward in developing these competency models, and of course now we've moved on to undergraduate. Just briefly, I think you have access to these slides at some point, so if you ever want to read this long list, you'll see that our chair, Donna Peterson, has been the chair of our education committee at the Association of Schools of Public Health. And the second name I'll point out, because that's my colleague sitting here, Susan Albertine. Her name was right up there because she was helping to lead this effort. The Learning Outcomes Project, it builds on the association of the American Colleges of Universities Liberal Education and America's Promise. So we did adapt that model, and we decided to do that very early on under Susan's guidance, that this was a good model for us and that we could in fact lay our public health knowledge and skills and into this format and make it work for us. And our current model that we're discussing today is for all undergraduates. We are moving forward, and you'll notice in the bottom right corner of this slide that phase two is that we are going to develop for our majors, because many colleges and universities have majors in public health. So students are either getting a BA or a Bachelor of Science in public health. That's our next, our attempt to define what that should be. But in this project, this is what every citizen should know. And it was probably a good wake-up call for me, because I just assumed everybody understood that public health was in everything, you know, and I would be like, well, of course that's public health. In fact, my husband would choose a movie and he'd say, oh, you'll love this. This has got all sorts of public health in it. And I'd sit there going, no, don't go in there. She's infected, you know, as I'm watching things. And I just assume everybody knows all of these concepts. And in fact, they don't. But certainly in the world that we live in, our students need to have a understanding of public health and how it affects them, themselves, their neighborhoods, their communities that they live in, and just to make them better citizens. So we've set out to do this Learning Outcomes Project and to develop the different outcomes in the different four domains that we have. So our goal, to express what every undergraduate as an educated member of society should know and be able to do to promote population health, both locally and globally. And of course, we use the learning outcome, the LEAP model, and here are undergraduate public health learning outcome domains, which Susan mentioned. So the knowledge of human cultures and the physical world, intellectual and practical skills, personal and social responsibility, integrative and applied learning. I will say that my initial experience, I've taken our Public Health 101 course, and I'm slowly trying to get the university to understand this should be a general education course. This is my first start at getting this through the university. And bringing in speakers from English and engineering and so forth to talk about public health. But this generation, I think number three is really important, because I do find that our young students do have a sense of personal and social responsibility. And they are interested in the things that impact their lives. They are aware of poverty. They are aware of illnesses. They are aware of water resources in San Diego County. And so as you bring this up and say, well, that's a public health problem, let's talk about the components of it. And what would you do as a citizen out there who's voting? And what would you need to know to better understand this issue in our community to help you to be a better citizen, to do the things we need to do to move this forward? And so they do relate. As they start to think about it, they go, oh, yeah, I should be doing that. And so you can see little lights turn on sometimes as we go through the different learning outcomes that we've put into our program. So just briefly, again, here are the four domains. And on your slides, when you have a chance to look at them, you can see that we had co-chairs working with us in each of these areas who helped to bring together the domain and the learning objectives that we had in each domain. Okay, learning outcomes. Domain one, knowledge of human cultures, the physical and natural world as it relates to individual and population health. As you all know, and it took me a little while to understand, when I went to San Diego State, I had only ever worked with graduate students personally, most of them doctoral students. Boy, was I in for a rude awakening, because we have a fairly robust undergraduate program as well, and I was like, you know, sort of, what is this animal, the undergraduate student? And that's why, even though it's not in my job description to teach, I said, I'll do 101, because I want to know something about undergraduate students and who they are and what they are and how they think. So this has been very, very helpful, because I've used a lot of this material to sort of frame that course initially so that I begin to think about, okay, how can I pull in these things? How can I go to my colleagues and ask them to add content if I don't understand how this is all integrated together? So I feel kind of good that I'm beginning to feel like I have a little bit handle on who is an undergraduate student, what turns them on when you talk about issues related to public health, which I will reiterate is everything if you think about it in the right way. right way. And so we used, I looked at these and said, okay, we can begin to put these things, cluster them in case studies and so forth. And these are the things that we came up with to be able to define public health. I don't know about you, but I can even say to my own family, not my husband and daughter so much, but, you know, like cousins, and they go, so what is public health? And you're forced to say, okay, let's start from the beginning. And I think that's really important. I think a lot of people in society don't know what public health is, and they certainly don't have an understanding of how it works in their lives. We want them to be able to describe risk factors and modes of transmission of infectious and chronic diseases. And I think a lot of students come with some of that knowledge, but they haven't put it in a framework. You know they should eat better and exercise every day, but they haven't actually thought about how that impacts them, and that it's part of what we do in public health, and it isn't just the individual, but in fact, how do we help communities to change their behavior, which is really what public health gets to, is how does our community work better? Describe relationships between literature, arts, and public health. And I had a wonderful discussion with my daughter this morning, who has a master's degree in English literature, and for which I was like, what? When she said that's what she was going to do. And I said, well, you have public health and literature. She's sitting in bed kind of really tired going, uh-huh. And I said, well, look at Charles Dickens' writings, for example. He talks about all the social problems of that era, all the pollution, the illness, the difference in groups between the upper classes and the lower classes. And that's all public health, as most of you here know, that when we look at social issues and social justice, that class systems make for poor health if you're at the lower rung of those. So, you know, there are things all through our literature that do bring that. You just have to help people kind of think about that. So, anyway, I can read through all of these, and I'm not going to do that. It's 8:30 in the morning, and you all can read. But basically, these were the 13 things that we came out that our knowledge of human cultures, physical and natural world as it relates to public health. So it's an attempt to not just have a list, but how are those things integrated so students begin to think about, okay, I learned this in chemistry, what does this have to do with public health? Or I learned in biology, you know, all about genetic issues, and what does it mean in ethics of public health? And what do we do to populations if we start typing everybody's DNA and saying this person's going to have this and that? So it brings in all these wonderful things that we consider our overall domain for public health. Now, the hard part and the more interesting part was to say, how are we going to give examples of this? Because if we're doing this model, we have a lot of people who say, well, that's nice, but now how do you want me to do this, and what am I supposed to be doing? So we came up with some things that we thought helped to define, and we're going to give just two examples here. One is like define public health and related roles and responsibilities. For example, we try to use case studies, and one example is depicting the actions of a government agency, a non-government organization, and a foundation in solving the mystery of widespread fish deaths in local lakes. So to put out something like that, and I've actually kind of developed a little case in my class around a related topic and said, okay, who's responsible for this? And the class is like, you know, well, maybe environmental health, you know, somebody will know that. And it's like, well, okay, do we have fish and games? Is that part of it? In San Diego, there's a lot of foundations that worry about coastal waters, and so we can bring in the nonprofits. And, you know, it really was an interesting discussion. And the final discussion is, how does that impact your community and your health? So we're using those types of teaching techniques. And then appreciate the role of community collaborations in promoting health. We got a team-based service project with local health department regarding the development of campaigns to promote smoking cessation. And one of the things we had our students do was go out and actually try to pick up cigarette butts all around campus and then put them all in there. You know, we had 26,000 cigarette butts that were collected in exactly 1 hour. And that's real good for smoking cessation. So the next one is learning outcomes as the intellectual and practice skills. Some of the things we have, I'm going to let you read some of this because she's holding up a sign down here already. And if you let deans of public health go, I might be here all morning. So anyway, describe how the methods of epidemiology and surveillance are used to safeguard the population's health. We have a presentation and discussion session related by a state health department epidemiology outlining the roles and what they how they do foodborne outbreak and what does that little sign mean when you walk in the restaurant. So we get into those kinds of things. And we also, I want to show under 2.6, I actually have an architect come in and talk about green building in the class, which I wouldn't have thought to do that until I had met Susan, but it's a wonderful thing. It's like, how can we build green? How can you buy? What are the barriers to doing that? learning outcome of domain 3, personal and social responsibility. This one is easier because I think our students are more engaged in that over time. And we have them prepare a letter, which I think was kind of cool. Like, how would you write your congressman and say, this makes me mad? Because you are a voter, and I tell him, and so if this bothers you, what do you do about it? You know, how can you have an impact? So, and then champion the role of prevention and promoting health. We do some internship projects and have them out in the community doing these things. Then finally, domain 4, integrative and applied learning, adult and lifelong learning, education and design principles. You'll see this nice list. It's part of the LEAP model, innovation, creativity, engaging, and so forth. And I think we've done a pretty good job of doing that. And when we talk about that, we're looking at capstone courses, having internships, projects in the community, mentoring, coaching, role-playing. We do some role-playing, and I have students be on this side of the toilet to tap controversy in San Diego County, the pros and cons, the alternatives if you don't recycle your water, and even going into what's the long-term resource issue for water in San Diego County like 50 years from now, where are we going to get it? So it helps them to think about those kinds of things using these interactive, very active students involved in projects. Now, I will say in my final parting word is this is a lot of work for an instructor, because when you do case studies or small papers or debates and you have a class of 80 in a 101 or longer or larger, it's one of those classes that you're like, oh no, how am I going to do this? And it's a lot of grading and a lot of it's thought provoking, but I learn as much as the students do sometimes as they bring things forward and thoughts that I hadn't had and from their perspective. They're very bright and very capable. So I enjoy having them come together and share with us their ideas and how they see these issues, and then I get my chance to sort of educate them around the edges, stick in those principles of public health as they're talking and say, ah, but what do we know in public health about this issue? And we hope that we're getting in all the little pieces of public health principles that they should know, at the same time getting them engaged and I think quite excited about the things that are in public health, because they begin to see that it's just part of living and that it will be a responsibility for them in the long term as they go out and become citizens and vote and members of the community. So thank you very much. I know there's a lot of material, but like I said, you all can read, so please sit down and read, and if there are questions, we'll be happy to entertain them. Thank you.